A rock historian, Ed Ward, says that for a lot of people, Mott the Hoople was one of the bands that made the early 70s bearable. Ian Hunter's self-conscious but knowing songs about the rock and roll life and the group's almost self-mocking stage presence were rare fun in the days of serious progressive rock.
I change my name in search of fame to find the mightiest touch. Oh, I wish I'd never wanted then what I want now, twice as much. We crossed the mighty oceans and we had a few divides, but we never crossed emotion, for we fell too much inside. You know all the tales we tell, you know the band so well. Still I feel somehow we let you down.
Once upon a time in the mid-60s, there was a bunch of English guys with a band called the Doc Thomas Group who went to Italy in search of fame and fortune, playing around and even getting to make a record there. They sounded like this.
Everybody get on your feet. You make me nervous when you're in your seat. Take off your shoes and tap your feet. We're doing a dance that can't be beat. We're barefoot. We're barefoot. We're barefoot. We're barefoot. Went to a party there.
Italy, though, wasn't a great place to get rich, or even to get paid. So the band returned to England, changed their name to Silence, and recorded a demo, which they sent to producer Guy Stevens at Island Records. Stevens offered them a contract, but told them their lead singer, Stan Tippins, wasn't rock star material, so they placed an ad in Melody Maker, and after auditioning a few no-hopers, they tried a friend of the guy in whose studio they were recording. Ian Hunter Patterson had been a journalist, a factory worker, and had played with dozens of bands in England and Hamburg, and wasn't too keen on auditioning for Silence. In fact, he'd never heard of Island Records, at the time one of England's most successful labels, but he did it as a favor to his friend. On the way, he bought a pair of cheap sunglasses to hide what he felt was his fat face. Guy Stevens loved him. The other guys, except for Stan Tippins, were afraid of him. But he was hired, and now all the band needed was a name. Somehow, Stevens came up with Mott the Hoople, the title of an obscure novel by American writer Willard Manis. Next, they went into the studio. Guy Stevens, their producer, was a man of very definite opinions, and he'd decided that Mott the Hoople was going to be his Dylan band. Certainly Ian Hunter, he dropped his last name, sounded like Dylan, enough so as to confuse people, who in 1969, when Mott's first album came out, were eagerly waiting to hear what Dylan was up to. A band covering Doug Somm's Crossroads and Sonny Bono's Laugh at Me in Dylan-esque style was sure to be noticed. But the other thing about Guy Stevens was that he had serious alcohol and drug problems, and so the band demanded to make their second album without him. It flopped, so Island imposed Stevens on them for the next two albums, which sounded terrible and also flopped, although they were beginning to get a following in the States. Finally, in March 1972 in Zurich, Mott was arguing so much, they agreed to break up. Their bassist, Overend Watts, had heard David Bowie needed a bassist and went to audition. Bowie was horrified. One of his favorite groups had split, and he'd just written a song he was sure could be a hit single for them. Watts listened to the demo and took it to Hunter, who knew Bowie was right. With help from Bowie's management, they got out of their deals with Island and Guy Stevens, signed with Columbia, and released the song. Mott the Hoople was back.
When he was 25, speed jive, don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when he's stealing clothes from Marks and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stars from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, same with juvenile delinquent Rex.
All the Young Dudes also took off in America, and the band undertook a major tour there, with Hunter keeping a diary that's since become something of a rock book classic. I saw them quite a bit during that period, and I'm happy to report that when they played All the Young Dudes, since nobody could hit the high notes in the chorus, they set up a mic in the wings so their road manager, who could hit them, could sing. His name was Stan Tippins. The revitalized Mott the Hoople continued through 1974 and then called it a day. Guitarist Mick Ralphs showed up in Bad Company, and the others went on to everything from farming to avant-garde performance. And Ian Hunter's still doing it, with an energetic young band, bad sunglasses, and a bunch of unusually insightful songs.
Our rock critic Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He'd like to thank Ian and Trudy Hunter and Angel Air Records for their help in getting some of the music we heard.